First reading is from Leviticus, the 19th chapter, beginning with the first verse. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall not render an unjudgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or differ to the great. With the justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of the neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall not reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord, word of God, life."
Thanks be to God.
Well, we read responsibly Psalm 1. Happy are who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on God's teaching day and night. Like trees planted by the streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the council of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall be destroyed. The second reading is found in 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, beginning at the first verse. "You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that are coming to you was not in, that are coming to you in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery, but just as we have been approved by to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak, not to please mortals, but to please God who tests our hearts. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or with pretext for greed, nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others. Though we have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own child. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. Word of life.
Thanks be to God. Please stand for the acclamation first. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we often love one another.
Hallelujah. Calls him Lord, saying, "The Lord said to my Lord, One of the things that can be a little frustration for me is, I love kids, but I have difficulty hearing, and need to ask them to repeat and that, so one of the things you might want to consider is having, like we did here, someone that comes that hears better than I can and can kind of tell me what someone said. All right. The other thing, and I've seen this in other congregations, like when I'm in Monroe and that, there's some very talented lay people in congregations that are teachers or light but maybe don't have a degree or something, but that are very good at doing object lessons or working with the kids. Let's see, I guess Nancy left, right? Okay. I'd always usually had those books, the Bible, you know, with the lessons to read to the kids. And we haven't been able to get books to replace those. I mean, those were Pastor Susan's. And so we were trying to do that, and we haven't had any luck with that. So, but if there's someone that would like to do object lessons or, you know, work based on the gospel and that would like to take that challenge or adventure of doing that, that'd be great. Let me know. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus walked into a world with its balances tipped towards certain influential groups, in particular the Roman government, but also within his own country. Pharisees were a group that interpreted and adhered to God's law, and yet something was missing from their practice of God's law and their application of it. Is a fictional character who is composed of a bit of each one of us. So today, Pat goes through life trying to do all the right things. Pat buys the kids all the right clothes. Pat joins the right organizations. Pat drives at the exact speed limit and no more. Well, I said Pat is a little bit of each of us, so I'm going to give you my part. Doesn't it irk you when you go to a four-way stop sign and all the cars are supposed to stop, right? But when I approach a stop sign and I stop, the other person, rather than stopping, just speeds up and goes. Boy, that irks me. I have a little Pharisee or a little legalism in me too. Now, I don't mind it when no one else is there, right? You know? But anyway, Pat also joins the right organizations. Pat drives, Pat remembers all the holidays and family birthdays. Pat prays daily and reads the Bible, interpreting it strictly. And yet there is a frustration in Pat's life. Pat is becoming growingly more critical towards others. Something is missing. Jesus, in our gospel reading today, tries to restore the balance to God's law. What is so fascinating is the key to this balance was there all along. Today, Christ adjusts the balance of lives by shifting the position of our good intentions that are already present, but to use them in a way that is more helpful. In our gospel reading, the Pharisees came together to stump Jesus with another question. This comes immediately after they heard Jesus had silenced the Sadducees that tried to him. One of them, one of the Pharisees, an expert in God's law and the art of debate, poses a question. So when this expert in the law asked Jesus, which is the great commandment of law, a great debate is expected to follow, which should probably get, you know, intended to get Jesus tripped on something. Instead, Jesus answers their question with the best possible answer from their own point of view. Jesus answers, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind." That's part one. Well, they were speechless. After all, this is the Shema. This command is to be written on the doorposts of Jewish homes or worn in phylacteries, these little containers that are tied to their foreheads. Well, the mention of doorposts causes me to hark back to my childhood days. in Franklin Park. My Bruce, my friend in high school and junior high as well, had a medal engraved, I think it's called a Shema, but Shema means like Hear, O Israel, and then you get your attention, you say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with everything you got. Well, I would occasionally meet on Saturday mornings during his Sabbath day to make music together. He piano and I played saxophone. Maybe we should do a duet sometime. I know you're not Bruce, but, you know, you're Sam, right? Yeah. Bruce, interestingly enough, became a rabbi, and I became a Lutheran pastor. Who would have at the time? Loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind keeps us focused, keeps our focus in the proper perspective. It's very easy to substitute money or power or status, popularity, for God. But ultimately, these things will not save us. By keeping our focus on God, by loving God with all we have, we tend to be aware of that reality. There's a story about a big hunter in Africa and a tiny puppy. And they cross this rickety bridge. They safely reach the other side. And the puppy looked up at the great hunter and said, boy, we sure shook that bridge, didn't we? Loving God with all our heart and mind helps us remember that it is God that shakes the bridge, not really us. Oh, we have a pound invested, maybe. It is God who guides and directs us safely to God's side. Yes, Jesus answers the Pharisees' question, giving the best possible answer, even from their point of view. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. It was the best answer, but it was not yet complete. Before the Pharisees could get in a, well, yeah, but what about, Jesus includes part two and gets to the heart of their conflict, the Pharisees' conflict with Jesus. Jesus says a second commandment is like it. And you cannot keep one commandment, at one first one, properly without keeping the other one. So they're really related, almost like part A and part B. Here are the second commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. All the other 600-plus commandments in the Testament depend on these two. These two are the intent of all the rest. It's more specific and probably not as applicable as they were back in those days. This is what Jesus sees missing among the Pharisees. Where was love for other people, for tax collectors, for prostitutes, for other sinners? When we don't love others, all the pious things we do for God are hollow. Helena prayed for her six children. Naming each one, she asked God to take care of them, their needs, and their frame of mind. She prayed for this every morning after her husband left for work when the house was very still. Helena is a devoted mother. She taught her children about life through Bible stories, books, people, travel, nature, and to museums. Helena worked hard at making her feel loved and secure. As they grew up and went their separate ways, Helena knew she would have to let God take care of her adult children. She would not have the daily interaction as when they were younger. Helena's motto was joy. J-O-Y. And she shared it with her children. J stood for Jesus. O, others. And the Y, yourself. Throughout their lives, when they had problems, needed to make decisions, or felt down, Helena reminded them Their focus should always be on Jesus first, then others, and then themselves. Helena knew that if Jesus came first, all the other things would fall into place. She also knew that if others came before themselves, their children would grow up to respect others. And wouldn't be so self-absorbed, as one of our children put it. Jesus was the balance. Oh, if we could all remember Jesus, others, yourself, joy. Jesus restores the balance between loving God and loving others. Are needed, but we're still off balance. Something is missing. And this story by Pastor Beth Hall gives a clue. A middle-aged wife wants to care for her dying husband. Respond to these extra demands, she stays home with him. She drops her hobbies, quits her job, loses contact friends, and worships less often. In caring for her husband, she neglects herself. She quietly bears the burden, saying, "That's okay, dear, you come first." But then she becomes more depressed and irritable. Things upset her, small things that didn't used to. The tone in her voice sharpens. Pressure is building, but her resources to cope are dwindling fast. Is this true love or something missing? Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." We cannot truly love God or our neighbor if we do not love ourselves. Some weeks when I was a full-time pastor, I would let my schedule get too full. I worked nearly stop, 70, 80 hours sometimes. This is a way that I would show my love for God and my congregation, neighbors, and my family. But if I don't take enough time off, I feel less loving. Taking this whole reading to heart helps put me back in balance. God does not want us to neglect ourselves. God wants us to love ourselves. Because God first loves us, we are able to feel good about ourselves. As with the Pharisees, thus it is us. Following laws, rules, and duties strictly can still put us off kilter if this threefold love is not their intent, this balanced love. Martin Luther's explanation of each of the Ten Commandments all start with, we are to love and respect God, or a lot of us learn we are to love and fear God, but respect is probably a better meaning of that, so that we have no other God. We take God's name in vain. We remember the Sabbath. Those three laws deal primarily with loving God. That's how we love God, and by doing those, observing those commandments. Then you get commandments 4 through 8. Honor your mother and father. You should not kill, commit adultery, bear false witness, steal. I got the order goofed up. But anyway, they deal with loving others. Now, as I told the congregation, the worshipers last night, I kind of thought about 9 and 10, you shall not covet, as the commandments that help us love ourselves. Because if we covet, if we do something that someone else has, then we're saying, God didn't make me good enough, or I'm not good the way I am, or I need these things to feel better about myself, all these possessions, or a prettier wife, or a prettier or a more handsome husband, or whatever, whatever we covet, whatever we desire. So those commandments teach us to love ourselves, to accept how we are, and the good things that are part of what God made us to be. We don't want to get bogged down in hundreds of commandments and rules. And yet love is not just some vague emotion and cushy feeling. Love is concrete action. love God through praying, worshiping, offering our talents and possessions, which God first gave us. We also show our love for God as ourselves, or as well as ourselves. We love others by helping them in need, listening and encouraging them, for example. We love others ourselves by taking care of our own spiritual needs and remembering God loves us. We love ourselves by exercising, eating healthily, resting quickly, and recreating. And so here's the good news. God loves you and wants to experience this love. We share in God's love as we love God and as we love our neighbors as well as ourselves. Christ's love equips us to live in this loving balance. I shall not pass this way again. Eva Rose York describes the beautiful sights and sounds of nature that should be relished in the fleeting moment that one can experience them, such as the beautiful fall colors that surround us in these last weeks. She determines to praise the name of God from whose hand such wondrous beauty comes. Then she turns her resolve to the people around her, not wanting any opportunity to be lost. And she says, I shall not pass this way again. Then now relieve some pain. Remove some barrier from the road. A helping hand to one lend. Then turn some other to befriend. Amen. Continue with the sermon hymn 546. Mission here to show your passion endlessly dear, to be your heart of mercy ever near. Alleluia. Hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Believe in Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. Third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Holy God, grant courage to your church in all things and among all people of faith. Prosper our Lord's call to love and serve in strength and humility. Hear us, O God. Holy Creator, protect this world so lovingly made. Allow our stewardship with yours so that plants offer shelter and nourishment, water sources life, habitats thrive, and all creation flourishes as you intend. Hear us, O God. Sovereign God, bring justice to the nations. Turn enemies from vengeance and war. Direct leaders in fair and honest governance, and equip citizens to seek the needs of their neighbors. Hear us, O God. Holy Provider, you care for all your children. Heal those in need, the sick, and their caregivers, especially Delma, Ruth, Mary, Eric, Mary, Levon, and Ron. And also, we pray for victims of family strife and any who grieve this day, especially the family of Mesquite. Hear us, O God. Gracious God, you bless this congregation and community. Reveal your servant love through our ministries. The work on behalf of all our neighbors bears fruit that endures. Hear us, O God. We give thanks for those in our midst celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. Kyle, Kelsey, Kara, Kevin, Walter, Emily, Aaron, Eric and Vera, Dan and Lori, and Mark and Pesha. We give you thanks, Holy One, for those who served you in this earthly life. Renew our hope until that day when all are nourished by your tree of life. Hear us, O God. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting the power of Christ and the gifts of it. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all. Share Christ's peace with those around you. Let us pray together the offering prayer. God of life, you give us these gifts of the earth, these resources of our life and our labor. Take them, offered in great thanksgiving, and use them to set a table that will heal the whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, light. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also
lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death, grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all of angels, with the church on earth, with hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Let's say it together from page 207. Thank you. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Speak to us, O Lord, in the breaking of the bread, and make us one with you. Thanks be to God. May the body of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Holy and compassionate God, in bread and wine you give us gifts that form us to be humble and courageous. May your words come to life in our serving and in our witness, that we speak a living voice of healing and justice to all the world through Jesus Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Quick announcement. The funeral for Andy Buskey will be next Saturday. And if anyone has more details on that, I appreciate it can be, just so I know things, what's happening. So, receive the benediction. God, creator of all things, speak formation into being. Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, raising the dead. Holy Spirit, voice, calling and enlightening church. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Hymn 729.
The Church of Christ in every age, beset by change, by Spirit led, must claim and test its heritage, and keep on rising from the dead. Across the world, across the street, the victims of injustice cry for shelter and for bread to eat, and never live before they die. Then let the servant church arise, carry church that longs to be apart in Christ's sacrifice and clothed in Christ's humanity. For he alone whose blood was shed can cure the fever in our heart and teach us to serve.